Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City,
chef,
yeah.
Cabbie, Taj,
woo,
Connecticut. Yes, it is the midweek. We are the hump day on Sports City Chefs. It's the cookout, the callers cookout. TP Timeless versus the villain. Where good always wins. I don't know who came up with that part of the tagline, but it's not true. The villain has to win. The good guy is the villain. Whatever. But call number 929-477-2759. You could be anywhere in the world, but you chose to be with the chefs. The villain hosting. My Knicks not looking good. But I got my co-host here, TP Timeless, the boss, the head honcho, the Jay-Z of Rockefeller. Holla at your boy, TP. What up?
The whole world taking off the item. Took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I know this dude ain't picking on me right now. It's a storm going over Manhattan right now. And if you've never seen the movie back in the 80s, it's called The Birds. But I'm all right. I'm doing okay. How are you doing this evening? Mr. Jordan.
I am miserable. I really don't want to do this show right now because my Knicks are just depressing me right now. It's not looking good. But, we got another half of basketball. You know, I guess we could say ice storm is brewing in New York. Ice storm. But I got my main antagonist, calling from the 703, the 213. I don't know all the zip codes. I'm not good with that stuff. But here he is, Mr. Serious himself, Aaron Simmons. What's up, Aaron?
You know, I can't see him coming down his eyes, but I know villain is sitting over there with a strong cry. You can't see him coming down his eyes. The TP, my man got a strong crying over there. Good dude. I know he hates the Hawks like cooked food, even though – let me stop reciting over here. Man, what's going on, first? How are we doing tonight?
I was good until I had to let you in the show because, it is what it is, man. I have
Aaron.
To hear it from
you're,
you. I mean
– you're Aaron.
Yo.
Aaron, you don't get the villain back like that. Man, that's a dude with pride. You don't do stuff like that. You don't just
like
pick
that.
Up and leave a cook like that. You don't throw away what the Knicks had just
had.
Like that. He was just cutting the bread. He was going to get right back.
But no, seriously, I mean, I might have to hit him with the beads. Like, you don't want no problems. like beating Max,
you can't even get the line out right now, man. You're still over there dreaming about Trae Young busting 20 on your head right now. You can't even get the lines out.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
right.
He
that's
is.
Right.
I mean,
that's
I mean, you know, he really is. But, I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. I mean, you know, I'm glad you guys are here. You can talk some basketball in a minute. I we haven't been on in a minute, so I did want to touch on what's going on in Atlanta, not the basketball, But the football, you know, because, you know, I got all night to talk about the Knicks and the Hawks and all that good stuff. But, Julio Jones came out earlier a day or two ago and was on TV and basically confirmed to Shannon Sharp that he's out of here, that he wants out of town. He asked for a trade, I think it was in March. It's really in Atlanta's best interest to trade him after June, but, you know, June's fast approaching. That's going to be next week. But, I mean, it looks like both sides are ready to move on. It was rumor a couple months ago. We didn't think it was a real story, but apparently it really is. And, Julio Jones looks to be on his way out of Atlanta. Not sure where the landing spot is, but that's the story. So, the caller line's lighting up, so everybody's coming in. But, TP, I'll let you go with this first. Let's talk a little Julio Jones before we settle into some NBA playoff talk.
I feel so sorry for you, man. It's just terrible that you feel a certain way about the city of Atlanta. But the crazy part was, I know that, him being in Georgia and dealing with a Georgia boy and, Shannon, I know they probably set that up. I really feel like they put that together. But whoever's a Falcon fan, shout out to Naj, it's going to be interesting to see how this summer goes down and where he lands. Like, because I don't want him to land somewhere where it's like he got to do all the work because they're going to force him to retire early. And you got to, respect greatness while it's here. So I don't want to see him, like, bow out that quick. But wherever Julio goes is going to be very interesting. They were showing pictures of him in Arizona, or him and D-Hop took a picture. It was him and A.J. Green, and already got A.J. Green down there. Just imagine if Julio went and Larry Fitzgerald's the fourth option. It'd be like that's Kyler Murray's going ham with those guys. So it'd be ridiculous to see that go down if Larry sticks around. But just seeing a landing destination of where he could potentially land would be crazy for Julio. Thinking if he could potentially go to Green Bay to help try to keep Aaron Rodgers there. I know that would leave him there if it was him and Davante Adams, but that'd be a crazy 1-2 tandem. But I ultimately want to see where Julio goes and him trying to give Cam Newton credit. So I think the door is wide open for his potential. A lot of people think it's over. I don't think so, though.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I really don't see why Atlanta would want to – not why they wouldn't want to keep a player of his caliber, because he is that good. But, it seems like they're in a transition phase. I don't see Matt Ryan staying there much longer. So why not get the most – they're looking for a first-round pick for him. Why not try to get that and get value for him now? 3 years left on his deal, I think. So, I mean, serious, what's your handicap on Julio Jones in Atlanta? Will he stay? Will he go? Will he get his wish? It looks like he will, from my seat, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's out of there. Like TP alluded to, just a matter of where he goes. I'm doing some reading, some articles, and kind of reading tea leaves in Atlanta has, pretty much postured and said that we don't want to trade him or move him to an NFC contender or an NFC team, which leaves potentially him going to the AFC. And honestly, everything that I am thinking and feeling has him laying in the laps of Bill Belichick. He's already shot it out and gave props and respect to Cam Newton, who is the current sitting quarterback there. We don't know how long he's going to be the quarterback. That's another conversation of the day. Also, A.J. Brown of the Tennessee Titans has, pitched his wish and, said something to him on Twitter, talking about coming out there and forming a tandem. When we speak of Julio Jones, I mean, we talk about it like we talk about when we were dealing with Deshaun Watson several months ago. Anybody who acquires this talent is going to immediately upgrade the position room that they're in. And he specifically said that he wants to win. So Tennessee is in a position to win. We all assume and, project that the New England Patriots are going to be in better position to win this upcoming year, regardless of who's under center, just by all the pieces that they signed and who's coming back off the COVID restriction list and whatnot. I think all teams need to make a phone call. You know, if all they want is a first-round draft pick, those of you guys who follow me on social media, yo, Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, make a call. I don't even care if you strike out and don't get the guy. I want to be I want my hat in the ring. You know, all these other teams, you know, in the AFC, man, but Baltimore, keep the phone hung up, you know. Picasso, I'm not trying to hear you right now. But everybody else in the AFC, man, pick up the phone. Make a phone call. See what you got to do to get this man. I'm shocked, honestly. You know, they didn't do anything with the quarterback position because I would have thought that if they're really intending on turning the page on the offensive regime there in Atlanta, that you would bring in a Kyle Pitts and another quarterback and have them kind of work in tandem and work together. I'm not negating the Kyle Pitts pick because I think it was a hell of a pick. But I don't believe, and again, you can correctify me if I'm wrong, I don't think they drafted a quarterback. Or if they did, it was super, 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 super late, and I kind of overlooked it. But with that being said, Julio Jones is as good as out of there, and it's a matter of where he lands.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to bring call in Big E, Eric, calling out of Colorado, the 970. Eric, how you feeling since this evening?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm feeling great today.
Awesome. So we're just, you know, teeing it up, talking a little Julio Jones, requesting a trade out of Atlanta. What do you see happening there in Atlanta? Will he stay? Will he go? And where's the best destination for him?
Yeah, I find it kind of shocking, actually. You know, they went out and got Pitts. That'd be a good combination, him and Julio Jones out on the field together. They tried to address their defensive needs in the draft, so I don't know. It's head-scratching. Why Julio Jones is pretty much arguably one of the best wide receivers in all of football, so why would they be wanting to get rid of him? Yeah, they can get a first-round pick, but that shows us that Atlanta is not committing to winning, and they're committing to just rebuilding. So I think the Patriots are leading candidates to get him. I've been looking into this, and they're, you know, the favorites to land him. I think it'd be a good spot for him. You know, help Cam Newton out tremendously. But there's also a lot of other teams that are closer to being a contender that he can go to and get him over the hump. And I heard you guys talking about the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, wow. I mean, if that came true, I think the Cardinals, their offense would pretty much be unstoppable. They already got a good running game. Kyler Murray's good, and you add Fitzgerald, A.J. Green, D-Hop, and this guy together, I mean, that would be some serious problems. So, yeah, I'd like to see what happens, but if I was an Atlanta Falcons fan or in the city of Georgia right now, I'd be pretty bummed out because of the fact that just my team's not getting rid of, I mean, my team's wanting to get rid of one of the best wide receivers in football. So, it makes no sense, taking away one of their best weapons. So, and like I said, him and Pitts would be a good combination out there together on the field. So, yeah, it's kind of head-scratching, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But, I mean, you know, Julio doesn't want to be there. He wants to get out. He wants to win. And Atlanta doesn't look like they're in the win-now mode, so to everybody's point. So, you know, why stay there if they're not in win mode now? So, So I got another call. I'm going to bring in Mr. Controversy, James himself, calling in out of the 5-1, the 518. I'm having technical difficulties there. I think I got it now. James, if you're in the building, say what's up. How are you feeling this evening?
Controversy's in the house, and I'm going to live up to the name today, gentlemen.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, great. It's not a quarterback, so I don't think there's much controversy. I mean, you know, if it was a quarterback, we'd be talking about salary cap or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's coming in trying to be Mr. Controversy, but let's see his
Yeah, exactly. So what you got for me, James?
So I'm going to – I honestly believe that if the Atlanta Falcons get a first-round pick for Julio Jones, that's highway robbery. That would be a major steal for the Atlanta Falcons. When you take a look at the at Julio Jones in the past couple of years, he's been on the injury report every single week. A knee, a hip, a hamstring, a calf injury, turf toe. He's had every single lower body ailment. This is the time when wide receivers go to fall apart. I mean, look at A.J. Green right now. He hit 33 last season, and he hasn't been the same. He wasn't the same 2 years ago. So this is a guy on, like, if we're being generous, Julio Jones is on the last year of his, let's just say, prime time career. He could probably still be an effective wide receiver for another 2 or 3 years, like middle of the pack or whatever, but you're not getting Julio Jones circa 3-4 years ago. You're getting Julio Jones on the back foot of his career. So if you're going to go for a first round pick for that, I say you sell that all day long. You give it to whatever team offers you that first round pick. And right now the hype is there. The hype is saying that's what they're going to get for him, and that's going to be an amazing move for the Atlanta Falcons. Then the next question is, what are they going to get for Matt Ryan? Because Matt Ryan is the next thing to go. They can't do it this year. Like the cap, we can't go through a conversation with me about talking about the salary cap situation, but it can't work this year. Probably can't even work next year. It is a rebuilding mode, but they should be in it. Or should they? I mean, the Carolina Panthers aren't that good. The New Orleans Saints are taking a nosedive. So the only other team in the division currently is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they have probably 1 year left of relevancy before Tom Brady hangs them up, and then they could theoretically be the team at the top of the division, but Julio Jones is not going to be prime Julio Jones anymore. So they're selling at the exact right time, and I think this is a great move by the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, controversy living up to his name. I mean, it should be Mr. Wrong Controversy. I mean, what are you talking about? Like, I get it. Like, Julio Jones is on the injury list, but, like, he's only – after this year, he missed 7 games. All right, he played in 9 games. Before that, he played 15 games. He played 16 games. He played 16 games. He played 14 games. Played 16 games. Played 15 games. Okay, so he's always on the injury list, but he always puts his helmet on, straps up, and gets on the field. So, I mean, I don't understand where you're saying, like, sell. I get what you're saying, sell high, because he can still be productive, and they're not in win mode. But if you're saying because he's on the decline, he's not going to be the same player, I can't buy that. But, I mean, listen, it's in the team's best interest to move on, and I think it's in Julio's best interest to move on because both sides are at an impasse. One side wants to win. The other side, maybe not. I don't know what Atlanta wants to do, but it looks like they're rebuilding. So they're obviously rebuilding. That defense is still hasn't shown up since the Super Bowl, when they got embarrassed by the Patriots. I mean, they still haven't recovered from that. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if anybody else has an opinion on it, but I mean, to rebuke controversy came
up. So, Julio leaving, what do they do with Matt Ryan? Like, that Matty Ice situation changes now, too.
So how do you see that, TP? No, hold on.
Because there's already talks about him potentially leaving. If Julio goes, that's his best target. Is he going to remain a Falcon lifer? Or do they get rid of him now while he still has some value?
I mean, seriously, let me answer that real quick, and then I'm going to kick it right to you. I think that he should have been traded before the draft. I don't know why he's still in a Falcons uniform, to be honest with you. I mean, they should not have drafted Kyle Pitts. They should have drafted his replacement and moved on from Matt Ryan. It's not uncommon for a really good quarterback to play for multiple teams. I mean, you know, in my opinion, listen, Brett Favre did, Peyton Manning did, Tom Brady did, like a lot of great quarterbacks. And I'm not even putting Matt Ryan in that class, but it's not uncommon for them, you know, to not be a lifer and to move on. The only guys I can think of that, you know, stayed on one team Dan Marino and John Elway. I mean, we're talking Joe Montana played on multiple teams. I mean, you know, Steve Young. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of guys that start and finish their career like Eli Manning on the same team. So I don't know why Matt Ryan is still in a Falcon uniform. Serious. I don't know what your opinion is, if they should move on from Matt Ryan, why he's still there. I mean.
Okay, all right. So I have dual opinions, okay? Let me first address what controversy you said about Julio Jones not being a first-round draft pick. And, again, I'm not too sure where he's coming off with that. But I'm kind of torn because, in a sense, you know, Julio Jones is the yardage guy, but he struggles to get in the end zone. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way the Falcons have orchestrated their offense, Matty Ice turning the ball over, et cetera, et cetera. But at the apex of Julio Jones's career and at the apex of Julio Jones's potential, you have to pay what he's worth. Okay? The man, based off the statistics and based off what he can potentially do for an organization, is still worth his first-round draft pick. Now, is Atlanta going to get a first-round draft pick for him? Probably not. I mean, they may get a two, you know, and some other bells and whistles to go along with that, in my honest opinion. But this is a conversation that GMs and coaches need to have with, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, he's still a talented young man that can really help out an organization. And if given the right set of circumstances, he can kick them over the top. Keep in mind, the gentleman did say he wants to win. He wants to win. So with that being said, you put him on a Tennessee Titans team with, you know, an established running game, a decent defense that's not going to blow leads every week, with a quarterback who has shown the ability to sling the rock and to be accurate. He's winning. You throw him over to Cam Newton, and we all understand the pedigree and the accolades that comes with that organization. Pittsburgh, another organization that has accolades with a team that is dedicated to winning. Even if you go over to the NFC, I'm not sure what, you know, the Arizona Cardinals present, but you throw all those assortment of wide receivers together. They just signed James Conner in the offseason. That's another running back. They still got one from last year that they can trot out there. You know what I'm saying? So Julio Jones adds depth and entry to any type of offense. Now, Matt Ryan, we were sitting here on this very network pre-draft. He was like, yo, I will be shocked if Atlanta does not either move him or draft his replacement early in the draft. They didn't either. Should they have? I'm not sure. I think there's some financial implications. Again, I can't look it up now because I'm driving, but I think there's some financial implications that play a part into why he's still currently on the roster. I think that a lot of that has to do with, you know, salary cap, and that's why Aaron Rodgers isn't moved yet and a bunch of other stuff that we'll get into later on in the show. But I think Matt Ryan is on his way out. It's just a matter of when he goes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Matt Ryan's there. But, serious, I don't know why you keep ignoring the wrong team.
Controversy's got you covered. We're talking about cap hits with quarterbacks. I've got it covered.
Yeah, cap hits and quarterbacks. That's what controversy loves. You know what I mean?
That's what I love. So Matt Ryan's did not leave Atlanta because I can't trade him until June 1st at the very early.
June 1st.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
June 1st. Yeah, the June 1st designation kind of splits that cap hit between 2 years. If they traded him before June 1st, it would appear a $38 million cap, dead cap hit. So they
dead cap,
literally
yeah, exactly.
Cannot do that. So
yeah, and
that's
basically with everybody.
Right. And that's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers and why he's not, is that they
right.
need that June 1st designation to split that between two cap hit years, which is really interesting because of the decision that the NFL just recently made that they're going to kind of spread out the COVID year cap problems that they were going to occur, but they're spreading that over the course of 5 years, which makes things a lot easier to work with. But that's neither here nor there. But Julio Jones is also in that same boat. Like, they save a ton of money by trading him after June 1st. So we're not going to see that move until June 1st either.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and honestly, seriously, Baltimore, I know you love it. Baltimore, your rival, that's where he should go. Say it. Say it with me. Don't come up with the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill. No, there's no issue with Baltimore. Stop it. You're trying to will your team to not get a rival to go to your rival team. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to do this like this is Mr. Rex and try to say, oh, I don't want my team to get – I don't want my enemy to get him. I'll pick, like, the Jaguars. That's a perfect fit. I give you a break with the Titans. Get lost. We don't know where you should go. Baltimore.
There is an issue with him going to Baltimore. Actually, there are two issues. First and foremost, he can go to Baltimore and he'll be in the same predicament because Lamar Jackson can't get him the football because he can't throw accurately. But I digress. Secondly,
I agree with Sirius on that whole point, by the way.
If that is the pot calling the kettle black, because if I was sitting here talking about, you know what, sign with the Eagles, Julio Jones, you would go ballistic. My wife would be over here doing all kinds of dancing because you don't want your rival to get a decent player. So pipe them, pipe down, sir, pipe down.
I mean, is that the best you got? Oh, the Eagles. You could have said the Cowboys. I mean, come on, stop. We know Baltimore's a good fit for them. Come on.
So y'all think Lamar Jackson can't pass? They say he can't throw?
All of a sudden, he's got barely anybody to throw to, and all of a sudden he can't throw.
It really is not all of a sudden. But
that's baffling.
We're doing Lamar Jackson.
We can't throw the ball.
It's not all of a sudden.
Pass?
No, we can't.
All those passes that he hit Hollywood Brown with were that's no good.
I mean, a broken clock is right.
Let's be fair. Lamar Jackson is he's not Mahomes. Okay, he's not Aaron Rodgers. But if you gave him better receivers to throw to, his numbers would be a lot better. Okay, let's be fair. Right?
Can
we agree on that?
We can't, because we are projecting and looking in a crystal ball and hoping. If you go back to his college career, he is one hell of an athlete. No one is negating his athletic ability. You know, I'm not even negating his MVP season. He won that fair and square. The man made stupid plays. But at the end of the day, when you sit back and make him read the defense and throw the ball in the tight window, or sit back and make him go 1, 2, 3 throws, he has shown over the course of his career back to college that he cannot do that consistently and accurately enough.
That's not how he beats you.
I agree to disagree.
That's not how he beats you. And again, I agree with that. He's one hell of an athlete. But at the end of the day, that's the same as me saying, you know what, Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Fame quarterback because he threw bombs to Calvin Johnson that one time. Or Matthew or Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback because he took the L.A. Rams to a Super Bowl. Come on now. He's a hell of an athlete. I'm not negating his athletic ability. I would never do that to that man. I don't like him because he plays in Baltimore, but that man is a hell of an athlete. But to sit there and try to convince me that he's an accurate throw of the football consistently, you're missing with that, because if you put on the game film, it tells me otherwise.
You can oversaturate the conversation all you want. Miss me with what you're talking about, because the fact of the matter is he has not had valuable receivers on the outside. His strongest target is a tight end that he's going to. He's been able to hit an undersized receiver in Hollywood Brown. If they get Julio Jones there and have another outside receiver threat, then you can try to throw this at him. Right now, he's not had big receivers at Louisville or in the pros, and got an MVP not just off of running, but also making passes too. Like, stop that. And for you to just keep trying to point fingers at the narrative that you heard elsewhere, just like I said, I would have to agree to disagree and oversaturate the conversation and debate this one out.
My thing, TP,
we're
going
to have to agree on this one, because you're absolutely right.
agree to agree. Listen, it's not often that the hero and the villain agree, but I agree with TP, and I'm not looking at it from he's not an accurate passer of the football. I look at it like Julio Jones would cover up a lot of things that would make Jackson a better thrower. Like, I'm looking at receivers that don't need to get double teamed. Okay, tight windows are even tighter when you like the defense that they have to play against those receivers compared to what they would play against a single receiver with his talent is totally different. Okay, and serious, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, because you've had good receivers in Pittsburgh. You've had good receivers in Pittsburgh, and you've seen it.
But that's the thing, there's a reason why wide receivers did not sign with Baltimore. Like, you look through all the free agency, none of the top two wide receivers decide to go to Baltimore, even though they would have had like all of pick one. There was wide receivers on the market. There were definitely wide receivers on the market. Kenny Galladay had a big money offer from the Controversy. Name a receiver.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
Kenny Galladay. Kenny Galladay got a big money offer from the Baltimore Ravens, reportedly, of course. But he got a big money offer from the Baltimore.
Hey, he did. Kenny Galladay. Kenny Galladay got an offer from the Baltimore Ravens. Juju did get an offer from the Baltimore Ravens.
That's true. Juju got an offer from the Baltimore Ravens. He would have been wide receiver one there. He would have been the guy.
Hang on. Go ahead, TV. Go ahead.
So I said, not problematic, Juju. Like, I need receipts.
That's what I mean. Controversy. You put out Galladay, right?
Hang on, guys. I follow the line. Just as much as you do, I've not heard anything about the Ravens. I'm actually looking at this. So you find a receipt, please.
That's what I mean. Hold on. Hang on with me for a second. Okay. Controversy. You threw out Galladay. I'm gonna say, okay. Even if he got a big offer from Baltimore, right, and he got an offer from the Giants, which was probably better, and he chose the Giants, I'm not saying – listen, Lamar Jackson's not the reason why he didn't take that deal. You can't prove that.
Well, no, you can't. Obviously, you can't. But why are you saying that? Kenny Galladay, I'll give you that. I'll say, you know what? He got a bigger check at in New York. I can't prove that. I don't know what the offer was. I just know it was reportedly a good dollar offer. But maybe he offered more money. That's entirely possible. But why did Juju Smith-Schuster go from being the number one or choose not to be the number one guy in Baltimore and chose to be the number two or number three guy in Pittsburgh?
I mean, an answer for that.
If you're telling me it's because of Lamar Jackson, I'm saying it's because they don't throw the ball. Here's the answer to that question.
There were multiple reasons for that. First and foremost, the style of offense that the Baltimore Ravens run. They don't throw the football. Second of all, next year, he kind of franchise tagged himself and bettered himself because next year the Pittsburgh Steelers have the most salary cap to offer any imprinted free agent, and he can get paid a ton of more money. And thirdly, and most importantly, he took less money to sign with Pittsburgh because of that. The style of offense that the Baltimore Ravens run does not yield to big wide receivers or wide receivers going there, period. So back to the original point, we can sit here and prognosticate that Julio Jones would go there and it would elevate the Baltimore Ravens offense and this, that, and the third. We don't know that. Because the way their offense is constructed and the way their offense is ran, they don't give a flying flip about wide receiver production. They don't give a flying flip about developing a wide receiver. They don't give a flying flip about orchestrating, you know, pockets this and the third. Their offense is run first, run second, run third, gadget play, misdirection, jet sweep, you know, dump it off to Andrews or whatever, name that, you know, tight end or whatever the case may be. That's their offense. They dare you to stop that. And the moment they open up the playbook and try to throw the football, it's a culture shock to everybody in the building, including Baltimore. Because they don't do it. They don't rehearse it. They don't practice it. Look at
so
the
you
Bears
mean to tell me that
look at the Bears
at the end of the season and Dez Bryant started getting catches, targets, and touchdowns. And that was the best other option they had outside of Hollywood Brown. You're going to say that they don't pass the ball.
Right.
I mean, and I'm looking
you're
at
over-saturating
it.
The argument just to talk for hours. Like, stop. But I want to get past this that we're going to be stuck on this and we got a show to conduct over oversaturated conversation that they don't have no proof to bring no receipt here. Enough is enough, bro.
I got,
like,
I got,
if
hang on, hang on.
I'm giving you proof, bro.
I got
like I said, agree to disagree. Like, can we move, bro?
I got receipts.
No,
hold on.
So you tell me
what $20
well,
got they got that office. If you tell me what Dez Bryant got in the building and passing in the crease when Dez Bryant was getting his target to score touchdowns, he cried in the room and all of that and believing in himself.
I was proud of that. That was decent. That was good.
So you're consistent. So they just passed. This was like a 1-in-18 time that he passed the ball to Dez?
Hold on, pause. I'm done. Serious.
Because this is why I can take your argument and flip it, because you're talking about chicken or the egg. You're saying that Baltimore can't throw the ball because they're not a throwing team. Who are they throwing to? They don't have weapons to throw to. They're built to run the ball because they don't have weapons other than Hollywood Brown, who can't beat single coverage downfield. That's what they have to do to win, is run the football with three running backs and a quarterback.
Again,
it's the chicken or the egg.
Either
they got to run the ball because they can't
do
that any other
pass
in the league. They don't throw the ball because they're better at running. Their team is built to run. Their team is built to run. That doesn't mean that Jackson can't throw. All right, great. But it's the chicken or the egg. Which one came first, the chicken
really
or the egg?
Is it really that because we're sitting here saying that, you know what I'm saying, Julio Jones goes there and makes them a legitimate contender or makes them relevant? We don't know that because we have not seen it happen before in Baltimore. Should he go there and he blows up, come back to me. Y'all know where to find me. I don't hide. But until I see Lamar Jackson do it consistently, until I see Lamar Jackson hit tight windows consistently, you're messing with that.
If he gets a receiver, it'll be a different conversation. Call the number 929-477-2759. The call is Cookout, Serious, TP Timeless, Eric, who's quiet because there's a lot of smoke going on, Mr. Controversy, throwing in. I knew he was going to do it. I knew once he came in here, the smoke was going to be fire. Every time James comes into the show, smoke comes. I can't understand it, people. I can't understand. All right, listen, seriously, real quick, I want to switch gears to NBA. A lot of news going on, a lot of games playing. Knicks came back. Serious, holler at me. Listen, off the court, there's a lot of controversy, like Mr. Controversy himself. You got Kyrie Irving coming out talking about, you know, boo respectfully, don't be racist in Boston. Yeah, okay. And then we got KP, we got Kristaps Porzingis going to a strip club on his off hours instead of going back to the hotel room and reading the Bible. I don't know what he's doing. And then LeBron went to a party out in the hills in L.A., and, you know, everybody's up in arms because he didn't get suspended for it. So, I mean, there's a lot of meat on that bone. And then there's playoff games. There's actually playoff games. So, I mean, you know, let's start with what's happening on the court. Let's talk about I got to get to the Clippers and the Mavericks series. Clippers go down 0-2. Not only had home court ripped away from them, they lost their first two games at home. And the Mavs look like they're the better team. They look like they're on a mission to embarrass the Clippers right now. TP, I'll start with you. Clippers, are they in trouble right now facing the Mavericks, or are we just like, hey, give it, it's a long series, give it some time. Time, like timeless.
Yeah, they are in a lot of trouble. I feel like this team is going to break apart. Dallas will win the series. I really want to say they'll get swept, but I feel like they may still win in Dallas. But for them to lose both at home convincingly and showing that they cannot defend Luka at all, like Doncic owns both Kawhi and PG. None of them are taking it serious. They rather just go shot for shot. And Tyronn Lue, I'm pissed off the way that you're coaching. Like, forget just looking at this analytically. Like, you won a championship, and it's really looking like this is all LeBron when it happened for you guys in Cleveland, instead of you having an impact and shouting out Mexico, Nebraska, and all this other stuff. Like, no, you have to go out there and coach and get these guys in line and make the Battle of L.A. happen. I'm not going to lie. Personally, I want to see the Battle of L.A. happen. And it was something I was talking about with this other group of people that I work with, and they say that the Clippers are only focused on one team and one team only. They're only structured to play the Los Angeles Lakers. They're not structured to play any other team in the NBA. They can be beaten. They're vulnerable, and they come out flat, especially being at home, losing both at home. I really could care less if they win one game in Dallas. They will potentially face a 3-1 deficit going back to L.A., and that's at a best-case scenario. If not, they'll get swept. And I can't believe that I'm saying this with a team like the Los Angeles Clippers after they just gave Paul George over $200 million, and he just said, I owe the city of Los Angeles a championship. You will not get a championship there if this continues. You guys are going to have to play your best breed of basketball to win two games to bring this thing back to Los Angeles. And I highly doubt this because Luka's doing whatever, and I mean whatever he wants. If he drives the lane, there's nobody to close him off. If they do the screen and roll up top, he'll screen and roll, and the guy that's rolling, he won't even dish it. He has a wide-open three. He's nailing that three at the top of the key. It's basically like he's playing 21 with these guys. It's embarrassing. The Clippers, you guys look bad. You should not be a home advantage team right now. You lost your home advantage right now. So this is disgusting. I'm disgusted with what I see, and that's from top to bottom. From coaching staff to the players. And Patrick Beverley, you sold the whole lie to the entire basketball world, having everybody think that you could play defense and do this, that, and the third. You can't hit open shots. You don't play consistent defense. Luka Doncic is treating you like his little baby, and he's cradling you to sleep.
Listen, I think the Clippers are in trouble, and I'll have my reasons why. But I got to say, serious, the Garden is rocking right now. It is loud there. But I'll come to you, Eric, because I haven't heard from you in a minute, brother. Talk to me about the Clippers-Mavs series. I mean, you know, are the Clippers in trouble right now, down 2-0 against a Mavs team that looks like they're on fire right now?
Yeah, the Clippers are in serious trouble. And this is what I talked about on our last show, thinking that Dallas would win this series because they're a lot hungrier. They almost beat the Clippers in the bubble without Porzingis, and now they're getting production from Tim Hardaway. He's on fire. Porzingis had a big game last game, and they cannot stop Luka Doncic. I see Kawhi Leonard leaving the Clippers after this year personally. They got rid of Doc Rivers, a horrible move. Look what Doc Rivers is doing in Philadelphia. And look what Tyronn Lue is doing in Los Angeles. Timeless hit the nail right on the head. This was a LeBron James situation and Kyrie Irving that won the Cleveland Cavaliers the title, not Tyronn Lue's coaching. He doesn't really – they're kind of – they don't have an identity. I mean, they really don't if you look at the Clippers. Patrick Beverley, like Timeless just said, he – pulled smoke over everybody, or the wool over everybody's eyes in the NBA. You know, he had a few good games, and, you know, they just took stock on that. But he's not consistent. They don't have any consistent help night in and night out other than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You never know who's going to show up. You know, they went out and got Rondo. They thought that would help. And, the Clippers are in serious trouble. You know, I hate to say it, but I think the Clippers are cursed. You know what I mean? They only won two division titles, have no championships, no conference titles. 5 years ago, they were voted the worst sports franchise in all sports. So, and then we get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and they're going to rebuild this. And it just hasn't happened. They haven't lived up to the hype since day one. You know, this Clippers team, when they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, oh, everybody in the media, the Clippers are the favorites to win the NBA title and all this, and it's never panned out. Kawhi Leonard would have been better off staying in Toronto if he wanted to go to a contender. You already won the championship. You had all your pieces still there. So he left, you know, I don't know why he left, because the Clippers' experiment with him has been an absolute disaster, and there's no way they're getting out of this hole. Impossible. They can't play defense, and Luka Doncic is absolutely on fire right now. So they're going to succumb to the Mavericks in probably five games.
It looks like we lost Barry for a minute. So from my perspective, I don't follow basketball like I do football. So the players, the names, don't really play that same role to me, or the coaches for that matter. But what I do know is that the Dallas Mavericks are now minus 290, which is way down from when the series started. So Vegas knows that the Clippers are in real trouble. So right now the Clippers are in a position where they're down 2-0, and they now have to win on the road against a team that's beating them every single game. So for me, the Clippers are definitely in trouble. And one of you guys can like help me out a little bit and tell me when the last time somebody dropped to 2-0 and ended up winning the series in the playoffs. But I'm sure that it's not a common occurrence, even with the best team. So they definitely have to make that turnaround if they think that they're going to go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it has happened. It happened last year with the Bucks and the Heat. So it's not uncommon. Yeah. Going down 2-0 isn't the worst thing in the world, but it's a tough hill to climb, as I was saying, but my phone was giving me issues. Winning the next five games, especially against a Mavs team that you have to go into Dallas for three of those games, that's a lot to ask. Sirius, I'm going to come right to you, brother. I mean, are the Clippers in trouble right now?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They definitely are. And this is – I didn't expect – I picked, like, easy. I picked Dallas to win the series. I didn't expect it to be this easy. And I think what TP said, honestly, hit the nail on the head for me. This is a team that was built and orchestrated – to attempt to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. So I have a question, though. So if they were orchestrated and put together to beat the Los Angeles Lakers, why did you tank to get to a team that you're not orchestrated to beat in the Dallas Mavericks? Like, we all sat here, I think it was last show, a couple shows ago, and talked about that they handpicked the Dallas Mavericks. You know what I'm saying? And it looks like they may have done that. So why would you do that when you're not equipped to beat the Dallas Mavericks? Like TP said, and yeah, I agree. It's not also, I agree with his brother. But he said that, you know, Luka Doncic is doing whatever the heck he wants. And if you look at the game film and look at how he's maneuvering, he's doing whatever the hell he wants to whoever is guarding him. It doesn't matter if it's Patrick Beverly. He's giving buckets. It doesn't matter if it's PG-13, he's getting buckets. It doesn't matter if it's Kawhi Leonard, he's giving buckets. And it's crazy to watch this superstar emerge right before our very eyes. This series is a wrap. I have zero faith in the L.A. Clippers and being able to overcome and come back and win these games. And you know, it's good riddance if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? The speculation and the writings on the wall
about what Kawhi is wanting to do and is going to do. If he gets swept out of these playoffs by the Dallas Mavericks, you know, he's definitely going somewhere next year. Speculation is probably, you know, is Golden State, or, you know, he may join Giannis in Milwaukee, or, you know, go back to the Eastern Conference where he seems to have better luck and whatnot. But it's a wrap, man. It's going to be crazy to see what the L.A. Clippers look like next year. Oh, we do know this. PG-13 is still there. I will do this. I will give credit to where credit is due. He seems to have, at least in this series, shaken off the PG-13 playoff P jinx. He is playing, you know, exceptional basketball. He's getting buckets. He's helping his team. But unfortunately, it's not enough because the role players around them are not stepping up. See, the thing is, Luka is getting help and contribution from his supporting cast. And you take Kawhi Leonard and PG-13 out of the equation, you have nobody else scoring the basketball. So that's a total of 80-plus points, you know, from two guys. And unfortunately, that's not enough against, you know, Tim Hardaway giving you 25, Porzingis giving you 20, Luka giving you 30, you know what I'm saying? You got cats coming off the bench giving you buckets. So it's crazy to see, but again, I saw it going this way. I didn't see it go in this fashion as far as to be total dominated like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Tim Hardaway Jr. putting in 28 points, hitting 6 three-pointers, this ain't much of a series because you know Luka's going to be there. If KP is on the floor, he can contribute. The numbers that are mind-boggling to me, 18 three-pointers in Game 2, 17 three-pointers in Game 1. Clippers can't win games giving up that kind of outside shooting. They can't win games like that. Tim Hardaway Jr., if he's scoring over 20 points and being a third scorer on this team, I don't know how the Clippers are going to beat them. The thing that really boggles my mind, because listen, let's give credit to your point, Sirius. Paul George, 28 points, 12 rebounds, big game. Kawhi Leonard, 41 points, big game. Where was Rondo? Oh, I know, sitting on the bench, played 19 minutes. Why did you trade and bring him here? He was the missing piece, in my opinion. He's the floor general that you needed. Playoff Rondo, right? Everybody talks about it. Playoff Rondo can't help you if he's sitting on the bench. Like, why is he on the bench? I don't get it. So Lou is getting outcoached by Rick Carlisle. And that's what's really telling to me, because Luka's going to be Luka. Kawhi and Paul George are doing their thing. But, I mean, if you're telling me Rondo is sitting on the bench for this game, that doesn't make any sense to me. You got to do better than that. So there's a lot of adjustments to be made. I mean, obviously, because they've gotten their doors blown off. So there's a lot of things that, you know, Tyronn Lue can do to change the narrative out there and make changes and make adjustments, because everything he's done is wrong. That's my opinion. I agree with everybody. The Clippers are in trouble. They need to make some changes, and they need to make the changes right now. Other games that happened, obviously the Lakers and the Suns. Lakers looked lost in Game 1. They came out in Game 2 and made a split in Phoenix, got the win. Anthony Davis had a big game. LeBron looked much better in his Game 2 outing. So it's a 1-1 series. CP3, just can't catch a break. Now he's got the shoulder injury. Came out of the game, didn't come back in. I mean, Cameron Payne played really well with Chris Paul not being able to go in the game. But at the end of the day, you know, it was too much and he couldn't get back in the game. The Suns look good, though, even though they split. The Lakers, you know, they did what they needed to do. They got one game in Phoenix and taking it back to L.A. I'll start with you, Eric, since you're the Laker fan. I'll come to you first. You know, it's 1-1 right now. Lakers got the win 109-102 in Phoenix, going to Game 3 in L.A. What do you got?
It was good to see the Lakers come back and rebound from that first game. It was a terrible performance, especially by Anthony Davis, and he came out and had a huge game, almost a triple-double. So LeBron had a good game. Schroeder played good. They played great defense. They rebounded the ball. And the Suns looked good either way, just like you just said. This series is still, you know, up for grabs. So, I mean, the Suns, they're going to be fighting game in and game out. They're going to be giving it their all. The thing that concerns me about the Lakers with the game that we had in the first game, if that's going to be a trend, if they're going to, you know, not be able to play consistent throughout this whole thing. Andre Drummond had a really good game, too, defensively and offensively. So if he continues to be involved, and the Lakers are playing like they did yesterday, then the Lakers should win this series, no problem, without a question. But the question remains if they're going to be able to keep this up. So look for them to take the series lead in L.A. They need to win both of these games. They should win both of these games, especially with CP3 being hurt. That's a big blow to this Phoenix Suns team. But overall, it was great to see the Lakers come back with that type of performance.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see Anthony Davis arrive to the playoffs because he definitely didn't show up in game one. Not a lot of offense out of him. They need better from him. It's a 1-2 punch, and when you don't have that second punch, and LeBron's on one leg, clearly, it just didn't look good. But Timeless, I'm going to come to you. Suns, Lakers, I mean, are we underestimating how good this Suns team is? And do they have enough to take this series with Chris Paul dealing with a shoulder problem?
I want to hear the full diagnosis on it about Chris Paul. If he's able to go out there and give it a go, he has to play. This can't be two NBA playoff series within the last 3 years that he's out due to injury. This is the last couple of seasons of his career. And to be brutally honest, Jay Crowder, what are you on the floor for? Like, your defense is questionable at times, and he's not knocking down shots. They need him to either knock down shots, him and Mikal Bridges, but I think, you know, Mikal Bridges, I kind of give an excuse because he's only been in a year. I mean, been in the league for a short amount of years. But Jay Crowder, like, you're experienced at hitting shots in Boston and in Utah, but now you're in Phoenix with a setup man like Chris Paul and feeding off of Devin Booker, drawing a lot of attention, you having these opportunities and not knocking down shots when they need you. The question marks start to arise in front of me for Jay Crowder. So, first I want to hear what's up with Chris Paul, and then I could kind of move off of it. But right now I think Phoenix can make this interesting. But looking at LeBron's percentages within the years and series games, he always loses game one. He normally wins game two, and the percentages rise game three, game four, and above. So it's looking questionable for the Suns if they can actually go into Los Angeles and steal a game. I think they could potentially go back to Phoenix facing a 3-1 deficit if the odds are in the favor of LeBron. So Phoenix has work to do, especially outside of the state of Arizona.
Yeah, they got to get one and bring it back home. I think they can do that in L.A. I mean, this is a good Suns team, and they're not a two seed for nothing. Devin Booker, 30-plus points in his playoff debut. He looks good, man. And, you know, he can light it up. But it's easier for him to get his shots when the point guard is on the court and he doesn't have to work as hard to get his offense going and get everybody else involved. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Sirius, I'll come to you. You know, Suns, Lakers, split the series in Phoenix back to L.A. What do you got?
You know, honestly, man, this is a series that I was very interested in seeing go long. And I still think it has the potential to do that because, in my opinion, the Suns really take on the identity of Monty Williams and CP3. And this is a very young team that has come together and is playing some excellent ball. You know, unfortunately, you know, CP3 yet again gets hurt in a playoff series, and it seems to, you know, tilt the table one direction. You know, but at the end of the day, I still think that the Suns are going to make the Los Angeles Lakers work. I don't think they're going to, you know, get boat raced in any one of these series and any one of these games, in my opinion. But you know, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. You know, LeBron James and the LA Lakers, you know, really played well last night. They got contributions from from a good number of eligibles, not named James or Davis. I like what Schroeder was able to do. You know, KCP was, you know, getting talked to sternly and came out and responded a little bit, playing some excellent defense. And we saw Frank Vogel actually coach, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, put his team and put his players in position to be successful. You know, the jury's going to be out on the significance of the CP3 injury. I think that's going to dominate headlines. I think it's going to dominate, you know, radio shows and talk shows and kind of be a cloud hanging over the Phoenix Suns. But Devin Booker had stepped onto the playoff stage with his chest out and said, yo, I'm here. You know, I'm here to ball. And I give, you know, kudos to him. You know, Ayton, you know, in his second year has played decently. You know, he made some significant defensive blunders in game two. But, again, I like the trajectory of where this Suns team is going regardless of the outcome of this series or not. So I like what I'm saying. But I think the L.A. Lakers are going to really lay claim to the series in L.A. and quite possibly go back to Phoenix with a significant stranglehold. And it's up to these young guns who don't know what to do. Like, they're out there playing ball. You know what I'm saying? They're out there, yo, I got an invitation to the dance. Let's go out there and crash some hopes. The L.A. Lakers went into the series as the predominant favorite. So the Suns, even though they're a two seed, are playing with house money. Let's go out there and shock the world and see what happens with it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, Ayton's not getting enough credit. I think, you know, people are kind of talking about it, but he's had a really good series so far, his first two games. Game one, he outplayed Anthony Davis. In game two, 22 points, 10 rebounds for a second-year player. You're right. I mean, he's – I had that matchup as a key matchup in the series on my blog that I put on sportscitychefs.com. Go read the blog, people. But I said Anthony Davis versus Ayton. I thought Anthony Davis would get the best of him. Game one, I was totally wrong. And, you know, game two, Ayton came to play. So, you know, the Suns are a good team. They're going to give the Lakers all they can handle. I picked the Lakers, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Suns takes that series. I mean, controversy. I'm going to kick it over to you, brother. I mean, and then we got a caller in queue. I want to bring her in, friend of the show. Controversy, give me your quick take on the Suns and Lakers real quick.
Quick take, it depends on CP3. CP3 is kind of like the glue that holds that team together. He, I would argue, is the best player on that team right now. And if he's out for an extended amount of time, then that's where the Suns are going to falter. But if he's back, I think they take the series. I think it's not a comeback at 1-1, but at the same point, with Chris Paul in the lineup as a full participant, I think that this team works more effectively. And that's going to bring them out of this, like, stalemate. And let's be real, like, the Lakers are not as bad as their seeding is. There was a lot of injuries at the back half of the season that kind of made them, made their record worse than what they ought to have been and where they would have been if they had this same lineup at the full season. So this is not, this isn't as bad as it looks, but without Chris Paul, it's definitely a Lakers victory, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Lakers look good. Drummond played well. I mean, you know, I think LeBron getting in on Caldwell Pope's face, you know, he had no points. And you know what? They need him to score points. It could be 5 points, it could be 10 points, but 0 points out of him is unacceptable. And LeBron, I didn't like him getting in his face, but I get it. You got to get in his face. He needs to play. I'm going to bring the call in the queue, calling from the 469. Alija, I got to bring you in. How you doing? How you feeling this evening?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're live.
I don't even know. I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Tom Lee,
how you doing?
Are we good? I'm doing well, Miss Houston.
How about the Lakers, man? How about the Lakers?
Hey, listen, that's what we're talking about, Laker talk. So, you know, 1-1, they got the split in Phoenix like they needed. They're going back home to the Staples Center, their home, not
sorry,
the Clippers
home.
No, but, I mean, they got the 1-1 split in Phoenix. They're headed back
I'm driving,
home. So
my signal's probably bad.
Okay, that's all right. But we got you. Give me your Laker talk. Give me that Laker talk, Laser. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, we probably about to go 5-1. But, you know. I mean, not 5-1. 4-1, my bad on that.
Get your numbers together, man. Get your numbers together,
yeah,
man.
You
want to
get an extra game. That's okay.
We're going to
five games. You gave us five. We'll give that extra.
We're going to play one more game. We're out of this world.
She's going to the next series.
Exactly, right?
That's how confident I am.
Yeah, so what do you see in Elijah? I mean, like, you know, LeBron didn't look too healthy game one, came back and had a really strong game two. Anthony Davis responded after his poor performance. Listen, after game one, he said he needed to do better, and he did. He came out and played some ball. What did you see from the Lakers that has you confident that they could take this series from the Suns?
Well, I would say that I'm glad AD did pick it up. We had a lot of people talking about him playing weak and small. I talk a lot about him. I don't like the fact that he thinks he's KD sometimes. I'd rather him be in the post a lot more, but I know how it feels to be banged up down there, so I understand why he don't like to be down there. But, I'm happy about what AD's performance. I'm hoping that KCP, Bron's little pep talk, he starts shooting more because we do need some guns if we're going to be ready for Brooklyn. But, you know, Bron, he do what he do as always. We going to lose the first one, but we going to come back hard in the second one. We're about to sweep these guys, gentlemen sweep. All hail King James.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love her, she's got that Laker talk. She's a big LeBron fan. I'm the big LeBron hater. I'm the villain, you know, so I always got to bring a slight to him. But listen, he came to play. And, you know, it's hard to bet against LeBron James in the playoffs, especially when he's playing good, you know, when he's got it going. So, it's going to be an uphill. Excuse me. It's going to be an uphill battle for those Phoenix Suns, but you know they got the horses, so it's going to be a good series. TP, I know you were bringing in something. What you got for me, bro?
Listen, Elijah, better calm down. See, my other place of business now. You already caused havoc in my other shop. Like, chill out with that LeBron talk. Slow down.
No, man, I got you. Yeah, y'all see how y'all do us when we lose. I have to talk, man.
Listen, you better
not let Chris Paul be healthy.
I'm going to tell you this. Don't let Chris Paul be healthy. That's it. That's what you worried about. I think once he went down, that fourth quarter opened up for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it don't matter.
He just couldn't go. Chris Paul, RuPaul. Logan Paul,
yeah,
right? One of those
Paul.
Oh,
my God.
Listen, you know, he couldn't go, and Monty Williams made the right call and sitting him down and say, all right, listen, I'm going to go with – he couldn't dribble. He couldn't go left, I mean, or right, I think it was, with his arm. He couldn't dribble with that arm. But Cameron Payne came in and had a heck of a game off the bench, and, you know, it wasn't enough to beat that Lakers team. But, you know, he played some good basketball. The Suns, like I said, the Suns aren't going quietly into the night. LeBron, you know, LeBron's LeBron, but you know the Suns, they're 51 win team, and they're going to show, they're going to give the Lakers all they can handle. You know, maybe people might rule the day that, you know, maybe that they got the Suns in the first round. We'll see, but it's going to be a fun series. The other game, the Nets and the Celtics. I mean, I'll make this quick. TP, I'll come right back to you. Can the Celtics win a game?
Hey, this is the place where the hardware goes. They better go get them brooms right now. They're going to clean up every last little bit of Boston. And I really want to hear what happened to Tatum's eye. I wonder if it's that severe because he didn't come back. And, I give him – I don't want to say give him credit or whatever, but it's like that was a respectable poke or whatever, so I understand that. Whatever type of injury he has, if he didn't come back, you know he's trying to play to do everything. So I wonder what type of, you know, glasses or goggles they're going to try to get him to go out there and play, but they need him. If he's not playing, if he's out, like y'all could gift wrap the series. Like, the spread will probably be like 26, and y'all could just imagine how crazy it's going to get. And they attack Kemba Walker's feet. Kemba can't play defense on anybody, and they don't have really anybody other than their bigs in the paint. Like, Williams has been doing good against, like, Blake and them, but and Tristan has been able to get his rebounds here and there, scored, like, reluctantly, garbage points, but I don't think it's enough to deal with Kyrie, KD, and Harden, especially with Kyrie on a 50-40-90 season and KD putting up 30 with 12 shots. Like, this is disgusting. And all of the people that said, defense this, defense that, yeah, where's the defense at against Boston in game two? It wasn't deep. They weren't locking them up. They just got outscored and punished, right? So lose that narrative. Whoever kept hanging on to that in the early portion of the season, I bet you are not singing that song now.
And, TP, I'm going to come right back to you because, Kate, I mentioned it earlier. Kyrie Irving did come out and say, you know, going back to Boston where he played for a season, you know, he wanted the Boston fans hopefully to be respectful, and I guess he kind of, you know, threw out some racial comments that, you know, that they were going to have some racial, you know, kind of, you know, chants and all that kind of stuff. Are you buying what he's selling? Was that appropriate, or was it just trying to control the narrative?
I really don't know what Kyrie's up to. The bad part about it is like, I got to respect it because he's a human being, and people talk about his mental health issues and knowing what people could personally go through. But I don't know if he's using this as something to build off or build himself up or really be an issue, you know, especially with his religious beliefs and things of that nature. So I don't want to put too much pressure on Kyrie. I mean, I respect it, but, you know, if he's pulling the wool over people's eyes, it's like he's doing a great job doing it because I'm actually trying to support him and whatever he's gone through and getting to this point now because he's in his best statistical game of his career, or season of his career. So this is huge for Kyrie to have this and building himself up to be a different person. So I'm with him. I'm with him, even if he is wrong. Like, I got to try to support him until we hear otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I have my opinion on it. I just didn't think I just think he was trying to control the fans in Boston and trying to say, well, if they boo me and they say this, oh, well, it's on that, you know, like trying to just deflect from him. You said you wanted to be in Boston. You'd be happy if they brought you back. You left. Eric, I'll come to you. Boston Nets series. Is it a wrap? Serious, Knicks won. Did you see that? Knicks tape. Serious, Knicks. But, Eric, I'll come to you, Brooklyn Nets, Boston, and if you want to touch on Kyrie Irving as well, you know, let me know what you feel about the Brooklyn Nets series.
Yeah, and congratulations to the Knicks, by the way, real quick. That was an awesome ending, so good fourth quarter. But, yeah, unfortunately for the Boston Celtics, being without Jaylen Brown, you know, kind of sealed their fate before the series even started. So and they're going up against one of the powerhouses in the NBA. And, you know, and to your question, I think they're going to get swept. Depending on how Brooklyn plays, if they give their foot off the gas a little bit, they may drop one in Boston. But this is the playoffs. They're a team that, you know, has a lot to prove. So I see them playing the way they did the first two games in Boston and not letting up. So, and, you know, Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving. I don't, you know, it is what it is. You know, he could say whatever he wants. So it doesn't really bother me. I'm not, you know, putting in too much stock to it. And he could say that. That's his former team, and he has a lot of memories there. He's played there. So that's just coming from him. So it is what it is in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, I literally, when he said it, I just rolled my eyes. I was like, Boston has a history, but, like, really? That's what you came with when they asked you about going back to Boston where you played? That's trying to control the narrative, trying to control the conversation, as always. But, you know, I'll go to you, Sirius. Knicks win. I want to know your thoughts on the Nets and the Celtics series. Knicks win. and see how you feel about Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving going up against, you know, the Jaylen Brown last Boston Celtics Knicks win, and Jason Tatum getting poked in the eye, Kemba Walker, you know, trying to get back into serious. Oh, serious drop. He dropped. Oh, serious drop. The Knicks won. Did you guys hear that? The Knicks won? Controversy. I'll go to you, Controversy. I want
Chris
Darius
to
come back.
Did he hang up the phone for real?
He might have had technical issues. I know he wants to come and talk about, you know, the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics Knicks win. The series with the Brooklyn Nets and Boston. Oh, there. Hold on. He's back. He's back. Serious, are you there? Serious.
Yeah, what's up?
Are you with us?
I went through a dead zone.
Oh.
I went through a dead zone.
Yeah, I figured it was a dead zone, Knicks win, because, you know, a lot of times when you're driving on the road and you're in the woods, Knicks win, there's a lot of dead spots, you know, spotty service,
yeah.
Verizon and AT&T,
yeah.
Knicks win. But, you know, it's crazy. So let me get your thoughts on the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn. Serious, let me get your thoughts on the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics, brother. Go ahead.
Yo, real talk, fellas. I mean, first of all, that's the Nets. That's what I got to say. Let me start off by saying that immediately. But anyway, honestly, it's a wrap. I honestly thought that they would get a game. I thought that they would play inspired basketball and get a game, and it would take the Brooklyn Nets, you know, a game or so to kind of get their footing. I by no means thought that the Boston Celtics would win this series, but honestly, man, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Call the lady, let her sing, stick a fork in them, they're done. But off the court, I do take a little bit of understanding and credence to what Kyrie Irving is saying. You know, due to the climate of the world we live in today, Boston fans have not been the best in the world. And Kyrie has kind of been in the forefront of the social injustice and change movement. He's also been the brunt of several jokes and the brunt of several questionable decisions and questionable moves. So I think, in my opinion, it's his way to kind of get out in front of it and kind of mentally prepare himself, mentally prepare his teammates, and kind of be like, yeah, Boston, I played there. I understand what I'm dealing with. I'm not going to let you guys kind of give me the okey-doke. Some said this changing the narrative. I think it's kind of being in front of it, so to speak, because he knows what he's walking into. And that way they can't get in his head and play with his psyche, you know what I'm saying, because he knows what he's getting himself into, and he's told the media, yo, if I snap, you know, this is why. I warned y'all, this is what Boston fans do. You know, it's kind of like, you know, people getting prepared to play against Philadelphia, you know, in the link. Yo, these fans, they're crazy. They say some weird stuff. You know, I'm aware of it. Just letting y'all know. If I get fined, this is why. If I snap at a fan, this is why. You know what I'm saying? Utah Jazz fans are another organization, another set of fans that has been known to say some crazy stuff and heckle the ball players. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is probably getting in front of it.
I totally disagree with you. I think that's crap. Get in front of what? Nobody said anything to you yet. No, you haven't even gotten there yet. I mean, really? I mean, Boston's the only place. But Boston's the only place that has would scream racial stuff.
Not at all. But the history of what happens in Boston towards its fans, opposing fans. Not to mention, Kyrie has been there. Kyrie has played there. Kyrie has witnessed it firsthand. Now, again, I'm negating your point that, you know what I'm saying, he may be trying to, I don't think, change the narrative. I don't think he's trying to get in front of the narrative or get in front of this thing and say, hey, yo, by the way, I know what you guys like to do. I know what you guys have done. that's not going to get to me this time. I'm not going to let it bother me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm an opponent. I'm on the opposing side. But I've heard some of the stuff that you guys say to fans, not to mention I am Kyrie. I used to play here. I did kind of give y'all the middle finger and go somewhere else when I said I wanted to be in Boston. I'm not going to let your childish maneuvers or childish games or your antics get the best of me. I'm staying in front of it. Again, some of it may be a little bit what you're saying, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he wants to get in front of it.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't think there's anything to get in front of. I think if he puts this out there subtly and says, well, I hope they don't do it. I hope they don't say it. If they do say it, then it's like, yeah, I was right. I'm the victim. Woe is me. If they don't do it, then he gets what he wants. They don't get to chant anything, and he's not distracted. Either way, he comes out looking like roses, like just by putting it out there. I think it's crap. Boston's not the only place in this country that, you know, if the last 4 years have taught us anything, it's everywhere. Boston ain't the only place. He could have played in any arena. He could have played in Washington. He could have played in New York. He could have played anywhere. They could have said it, and nobody would, you know, it's not like it's just in Boston. Like, Brooklyn doesn't have anybody that's, like, a whole borough. Nobody's racist in Brooklyn. Nobody? Like, I mean, come on. It's crap. Alasia, I want to get your opinion on this. I'll go to you, controversy, too. But, Alasia, I want to get your opinion on the Nets-Celtics series, if there is a series, and the comments by Kyrie Irving.
I never heard the comments by Kyrie Irving, but this series was over when it started. Even the Celtics fans knew it, so that's how I knew that it was over when it started. So I think Brooklyn, I haven't really heard Brooklyn, like, gloating about this series, so I think they're doing a pretty good job at just, you know, just playing the game and they worry about the next series. I heard they're ready for the Bucks, so, yeah.
Yeah, they better get ready for the Bucks, because the Bucks look good. Bucks Heat. The Heat, I seriously was texting, and I'm like, what? The Heat. I think they went to Miami a day early. That's what. You know, it was a wrap. But basically he said he hopes the fans keep it strictly basketball, and kind of made some racial undertones to it. But you know, it honestly, we don't need to beat that around. Controversy. I know you got. It's not salary cap football, but. Nets Celtics, love to hear your opinion. I'd love to hear your opinion on this one.
It speaks to how bad the East still is. And I'm going to be real with you. I stopped watching NBA basketball in, like, probably 5 years ago. And the East is still so bad that the Celtics make the playoffs as bad as they are. And the Knicks win playoff games? What is going on here?
Easy. Controversy. You got to say that with some feeling. You got to say the Knicks win a playoff game tonight.
No,
Sirius gets upset.
But at the end of the day, I do know from back in the days when I did watch basketball, Boston fans have a reputation, the same way Philly fans have a reputation in football. It's Boston, as far as major cities go, is a very white city. I don't, and they have that reputation for not all the fans, and I don't mean to disparage the entirety of the city of Boston. I actually like Boston when I go there. But there are those fans who are in the stands and who are close enough to yell at the players that have given racial undertones to their chants and their jeers and their whatevers. This has gone as far back as when the Pistons were playing against the Celtics in meaningful playoff games. Well, this is something that they have a reputation for. I don't like it, obviously. Nobody likes it. And other than those particular fans, literally nobody likes that minority of the fan base that participates in this, but they're prevalent enough to be heard by the players on the benches. And
yeah, well,
this is where I think Kyrie, and I'm not saying this is something specific to Boston or unique to Boston. I'm sure that those fans are there at just about every NBA city. But Boston has a reputation. And that's where the comments come from, because he's probably heard it from opposing sidelines at this point about what's going on in Boston on those sidelines. With that said, Boston should have never been in the playoffs in the first place, and they will get swept.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're missing out on, like, listen, yeah, Boston doesn't really have it. Without Jaylen Brown, they don't really have a chance. I think the first half of game one was that Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving trying to figure it out. Second half, they figured it out. Now it's a wrap. This team is going to sweep them, and they're starting to figure out, because they didn't play a lot this season, I think 8 or 9 games together. They're going to start to figure it out, and once they do, I mean, you know, Durant was playing defense. I mean, Harden was dishing and swishing, as Clyde would say, for the Knicks broadcaster. The Knicks win tonight. You know, listen, they're going to figure it out. They're going to win some games, and they're going to be a lot to handle out there. In Brooklyn. Brooklyn, stand up. But we're coming to the tail end of the show. I want to give everybody a chance to get their plugs in. Elijah, thank you so much for calling in, giving us that LeBron talk, even though we don't like – I mean, well, me personally, I'm not a LeBron. MJ for life. But, you know, I respect LeBron James. I'll never call him the king. I respect LeBron James. But thanks for calling in. Give us a plug. Give us a close as we get out of here.
I'm sorry about you. Sorry about the way you feel about LeBron, but I really don't understand it that way. But we'll have that talk later, I guess. But
we got more shows. Come back. We'll have a full discussion on why
bitter. I have to understand. After every Bron hater, I ask them why do they hate him. So I have to know. But
you know, the Bron sexuals are so prevalent, and it's a long story. Do you think? We'll talk.
Here's the reason. Because he didn't want to come play in the Garden.
That's right. He tweets about it during the game. He tweets about how the Garden was rocking like hell during the game, but you didn't want to play there. You didn't want to...
Okay. I'm sorry. I came out of myself.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's all right. I understand, man. But what will I leave you guys with? I would say, first thing I want to say, Lakers in 5. But on a serious note, I just hope that everyone has a great rest of their evening. I know a lot happens in people's lives and stuff. We all come on here and we laugh to get away from certain things, or, you know, just to enjoy ourselves maybe. But I would just say that I hope everyone has a great rest of their evening. Don't let this petty life get to you, or let petty people get to you, or anything like that. Just keep laughing. And I really enjoyed this show, Ty. I'm sorry, I don't know your name, the guy that talks to me right now. What's your name?
The Villain, Barry. Nice to meet you. A pleasure to meet you. I'm not worldwide
nice
famous
as well.
I'm trying to get there.
Nice to meet you as well. But I would just say I hope all you guys have a great evening. I really enjoy the show. Keep doing this. I don't really call in much because sometimes I forget that Ty has this show. He doesn't remind me. I know you probably don't want to be a bugaboo about it, but you can remind me, Ty. I don't care. I just be forgetting
just
about
follow
it.
Follow him on Facebook. Follow him on Facebook, and you'll know when every show starts.
All right,
exactly.
Exactly. All right, I got you. But, yeah, I'll be here next week,
right.
And I hope everyone enjoys their day. Lakers in 5.
Absolutely.
You're
we can't wait to talk to you next week.
I'll be seeing you in a little bit.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Because I definitely want to get into this, LeBron. You have no – Sirius already – he let the cat out of the bag. But it's deep. It goes deep. But, nah, it's all good. But thanks for calling in, Lisa. We love you here at Sports City. But Mr. Controversy, doing the NFL show, doing a great job over there. Give us a plug as we get ready to get up out of here.
So for my plug, Sirius, I want you to join me on this. We're going to play a little game. It's called Teddy Bridgewater or Lamar Jackson. More passing yards in 2020. Teddy Bridgewater or Lamar Jackson.
So Teddy.
Oh, that's right. Teddy Bridgewater. That's Teddy Bridgewater. Good. More passing yards per attempt. Just because we don't want to inflate the numbers. Teddy Bridgewater or Lamar Jackson.
Can I take Teddy Bridgewater for 100
hours? That's correct. Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
Greater completion percentage. Teddy got traded for a six-round pick. Bridgewater or Lamar Jackson?
Can I phone a friend?
Oh, yeah. Can you, go ahead.
I need to use the lifeline. Let me eliminate one and go with Teddy fucking Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater, wow, that's correct. You are on a roll, Sirius.
Yes.
You are on a roll.
Yes.
Hey, what's the
quarterback rating? Teddy Bridgewater or Lamar Jackson?
What team did he go to?
He's on the Carolina Panthers and got traded for a six-round pick.
Where did he get traded to?
He got traded to Denver for a six-round pick.
Do you think he's going to start this year?
Yeah. Exactly.
If they don't trade for Aaron Rodgers, he will start this year. Yeah.
Yeah, because if they get Aaron Rodgers, you got Aaron up there looking bad saying Teddy Bridgewater, and I'll be right here looking at the May 26th episode on 2021 and be like, look at these two bonehead dumb and dumber talking about Teddy Bridgewater, Aaron Rodgers. Got the same name as Arias Sirius Simmons, looking foolish. Look, enough is enough. If you want to drown your sorrows right now or you want to do this later, because I'll be like Big Fun in 2000, I'm laughing at you now. Don't do it. See, in the words of JC and friends of foe, you're making me nervous. Don't do that. Don't do that.
My true name is Pac-Man. Who's this murderous?
That dude Pack. Listen, tell him to leave me alone.
Exactly. But I mean, seriously, we know there's like bronze sexuals. What do you call someone that's in love with Teddy? Because I feel like every time Controversy's on this show, he has to bring Teddy Bridgewater out.
I do. I absolutely do.
He's his agent. He's his therapist. He's his spiritual leader. He does everything for Teddy Bridgewater. Every time it's Teddy Bridgewater or bust.
I don't remember him even pumping Teddy Bridgewater this much when he came out of college. I need to know when this Teddy Bridgewater fan is.
Oh, I had him as my, I think when he came out, I think I had him as my second highest rated quarterback of that year. Even though he got picked like 31st overall, but I'm just saying, like, I also had Kirk Cousins as my second highest quarterback when he got picked out of that year, even though he was a fourth round pick, but still ended up being the second highest rated quarterback out of that year. I'm just saying. I love me a Michigan State quarterback, even though Teddy's not, but you know.
You guys, I'm going to go way back. So, like, when I was younger, there was a movie that came out. It's probably one of the weirdest baseball movies, like Little Big League, right? The little kid that became the manager of the Minnesota Twins, TP's team, right? Right, okay. And then the one friend kept saying, you know, you should have started Wegman. That's controversy. Like, any time he can plug Teddy Bridgewater, we should give Teddy Bridgewater the MVP, you know? Teddy Bridgewater should be the highest paid quarterback in the league, you know? Teddy Bridgewater. That's controversial for you right there.
I've never said any of those things. I'm just saying he's way underrated for what he is, all right? So
you want to. Right, give me a plug here, Controversy. I'm not messing with you no more tonight.
Friday, listen to the NFL Free For All show. We'll be talking about the draft and free agency classes of the AFC and NFC East. Check us out. Me and Rodri are going to be laying that down. Call in. Tell us what you think. Later.
Absolutely. Thanks, Controversy. A special show Friday, and then back to their normal time on Monday. So definitely take a listen to that, the NFL free-for-all. Serious, Knicks win. You know that, right? You heard, right? You heard that? Give me a plug, brother.
I didn't see it. I was driving. I've been driving all
night. I was watching it. I can give you the highlights if you want. I mean, I can extend the show a little bit longer and tell you everything that happened.
I didn't care. So I'm just going to ignore that right now. Anyways, man, it's your boy, Sears, up in that 412 and the 703. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Call of Cookout, man. Shout out to all who called in, those who listened or whatever, who didn't press the one button. Definitely check out the blogs, the stuff on the website, man, the Free Fall Show. You know, Controversy and his team is doing some big things over there, man, the baseball show. We got a lot of stuff on the horizon. And, yo, training camp is around the corner, starts in July. Rookies and every, you know, OTA is going on right now. And I'm impressed with us right now here on Sports City because we got through a whole show plus some and didn't mention that quarterback in Green Bay who went on the ESPN and dropped dimes about some things. So that may be something we need to, you know, come back to at a later date. But, yo, shout out to everybody who came in, man. Love you guys, man. Y'all be good. Next up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we could talk about Aaron Rodgers every week, and, you know, the saga continues, missing OTAs and all that. So lot to unpack there. Thanks for calling in. Eric, Big E, Eazy-E, give me a plug, brother. You know what to do.
Yeah, always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks to all our supporters and listeners out there. Check out the website, sportscitychefs.com. We got shows all throughout the week. Check it out. Everybody have a blessed night.
Absolutely. You know, listen, get to the website, read the blog, you know, posting as much as I can. Seriously, we got everybody up there posting. You know, our baseball buffet, that is tomorrow at 9 o'clock. You know, Dave and Nate McFly doing their thing, talking some baseball. A lot of baseball news coming down the pipe. I know Yankees got some injuries. Mickey Callaway suspended. Big news out of there because he doesn't know how to, you know, that, you know, no means no. And, you know, sexual harassment, it takes a lot of different forms, but he didn't know that. Jerk off. So he's definitely on his way out. He was fired today. So lots to unpack there with the baseball buffet. So definitely listen to that. Get to the website. Like I said, listen to the podcast. We got a lot of stuff going on there. We got the merchandise. We're going to have a new line coming out with our new fresh coat of paint, our new logo and everything. That I want to give a plug to everybody that worked on that, Mike and Sanad, our brothers there. Got to give a plug to KVR, who does the theme song for the Sports City Chefs. Got to plug everybody, man. Give everybody love. You know, Sports City got a lot of support, a lot of friends behind the scenes helping out, making us do our thing and helping us grow. So got to give them a plug, too. So on that note, TP, you're the boss. You're the head honcho. I got to let you close it out because nobody does it better than you. So give us a plug. Give us a close. You know what to do.
You already know the slogan. They did enough for me. Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Knicks win, serious.
Sports City Chefs. Kaboom. Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune. Bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs. Yeah. Cabbie. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.